Good morning. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, correct? Praise the Lord, absolutely. So this morning, I was asked if I would give a little report of the trip that I recently had an opportunity to go on. So I'm going to try to keep it short because I could go on for a while. It was truly amazing. It was a blessing to me. It's always an awesome thing, I think, when we have an opportunity to be part of what God is doing. Whether that be here in Green Bay or in Singapore or in Bangkok or wherever you happen to be. And so so I'm going to do that this morning. And I thought to start, there's a video that I wanted to show you that Ray and Lemyai Kizzy actually sent me on Friday night, which would have been their Saturday night. So, Steve, you want to play that?
Okay. The song goes... Head, shoulders, knees, and toes, knees, and toes. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes, and eyes, and ears, and mouth, and nose. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes, good job! That was awesome!
All right. So, if you can't tell from the video... A lot of what goes on is interacting with children and being involved in schools and really just being there to try to help people have an opportunity to learn and to learn to speak English. And so Ray and Lemyai were at a small school in a place called Chiang Mai in Thailand. And you can see Ray was teaching everybody the English words for some body parts. So a little bit about our trip. We left Chicago in the middle of a blizzard. So on Friday, like 3 weeks ago, if you remember that snowstorm. So we drove to Chicago in the middle of that storm. And we flew out and we flew to Istanbul, Turkey. And from there, we flew to Singapore. And in Singapore, we had an opportunity to go to a conference. So that conference is hosted by a group called CPAC, or Southeast Asia Prayer Centers. And a little bit about that group. There's a man from Pittsburgh who had gone to China, actually, and felt God call him to that area to be a missionary. And so he and his family moved to Singapore almost 40 years ago and started to serve as missionaries. And what they did was they would just walk around the city and pray. And they would pray all over the city of Singapore. If you ever get a chance to go there, it's beautiful. It's very modern. It's also very warm, but there are mosques, there are Hindu temples, there are Buddhist temples, there's a lot of Taoism, not a lot of Christianity. And so what they would do is, that's how they got started. They would just walk around Singapore, and they would pray, and they would pray over the temples. And through that, they started to get more and more involved all over Southeast Asia. And so about 30 years ago, that man met another man who was a Cambodian, and he was a Cambodian Christian who happened to be working as a missionary within Cambodia. So what I would think of as an evangelist, reaching out to the Cambodian people. And they happened to meet each other, and they kind of hit it off. And they had this idea. They're like, hey, what if we just could get together and meet as friends? And just talk about what God's doing and what God's doing through us and what the needs are, and we'll just meet and talk. And so they did, and they called that Friends Around the Table. And so it started with five or six men that were all working as evangelists or missionaries in Southeast Asia. And from that it grew, and I'm assuming there's some pictures going by. But if you notice in a couple of those pictures, there's a room full of people. Right? So 70 to 100 people that all gather together, that's 30 years later, that's Friends Around the Table still. They meet not just in Southeast Asia, but they meet in Southeast Asia, South America, Europe, and Africa. So they have four meetings a year, and they're focused on what's being done in those various regions, right? And so part of that, what they talked about then, really resonated with me. But Mark Geppert is the individual that was from Pittsburgh that started Southeast Asia Prayer Center. And he said, hey, if you're going to do stuff, right, if you're going to work for God, this is how it needs to work. First, you need to get your spiritual resources in order. So you got to know who's praying for you. You got to know what you're doing, right? You got to know kind of what God's calling you to do. But really, it has a lot to do with having those people that are going to pray for you and support you through prayer. So you got to get that lined up first. Then your second thing is you got to get your human resources lined up. So you got to know who you're going to work with and how things are going to work and how people are going to fit together and how people are going to work together to enable whatever it is that you're going to do, right? So really, that's about building relationships. So first, you got to get your spiritual resources. You got to have people pray for you. Then you got to have your human resources. So you got to build relationships between people. And then the last thing you need is financial resources. And so you got to figure out, right, where all that money is going to come from and materials and all those kinds of things. To me, that was particularly refreshing because as a typical American, I tend to put things in the opposite order. I think I got to know where the money's coming from first, and then I got to know who I'm working with. And then at the end of that, if somebody would pray for me, it'd be great, right? But honestly, Mark's order sounded a whole lot better to me, all right? And then what he went on to say is that if you do that, if you get your spiritual resources in order and your human resources in order and then your financial resources in order, what it enables is through the empowering of God and those relationships, it allows the finances to flow to the areas of greatest need. And I was like, dude, that makes perfect sense. That's awesome. I love that, right? And that's really what Friends Around the Table is all about. And so I got an opportunity, and I could tell you 100 stories, and Gerald would never get to speak, so I won't, right? But it's amazing what goes on and what happens all over Southeast Asia. And it's amazing what's being done there, really to impact the lives of people, not just spiritually, but physically, every single day, right? So one real quick story. I happened to meet a guy from Green Bay that's lived in a place called Chiang Rai, Thailand, for over 20 years. Small world, right? He went to West High. He used to caddy for Vince Lombardi. And so we started talking, and he has a school in Chiang Rai where he has over 16 children that he fosters today, and they're getting educated from elementary all the way to university. And he said their biggest problem is they don't have anybody to speak English to. And he, you know, told me, come back. They can practice English on you. Right? But that's a lot of what goes on there is reaching out to those communities and families and orphans and children to give them a hope, right? And it's not just a hope of heaven, although that's certainly part of it, right? We want to give everyone a hope of heaven, but it's to give them a hope for tomorrow, right? What's going to happen tomorrow? Where's my next meal going to come from? What am I going to do when I become an adult, right? How is this all going to work? And so really, that's a ton of what goes on there. And so as you saw in the video, right, that's what Ray and Lemiai are doing. Now from Singapore, I had an opportunity to go on to Bangkok. I adopted a dog. There's a picture of it, I think, that went by a couple of times. It's actually a big lizard. I was like, dude, I didn't know things like that existed. I was walking down the street, and that lizard crawled out of a canal right next to me. It's like 9 feet long. It was big enough that when it put its foot down, it made a noise. It, like, thumped. That's how it caught my attention. But anyway, so I had a chance to go to Bangkok and really see what's kind of going on the ground, right? We met with a group that has the Gateway Project. And they're really all about training up and fielding missionaries, both, I'll say, nationals, so what I would think of as more evangelists, and missionaries, so people from outside the culture, to go work all over Southeast Asia and actually all over the world. They fielded a team to Africa right before we arrived. So they got a beautiful facility, a six-month training plan. You know, that's a lot of work they do there. I also met with some people that are working all over Nepal, in Southeast Asia, again, building schools, enabling people, you know, working with orphans. That individual happens to be from Minnesota, so we had a lot of fun making fun of various football teams. And so it really is amazing, though, like I said, just to have an opportunity to get out and to see what God is doing and to be a part of that and to see what possibilities exist for all of us to have an opportunity to be part of what God's doing, both there and here in our own community. The last thing that really stood out to me, and I'll end on this, is those people that we were able to interact with and the people that they're interacting with, those are the same people that live all around us in the community of Green Bay. And I'm blind to that a lot, but God more and more is, you know, opening my eyes and my heart, that a lot of those people from Southeast Asia that escaped a life as a refugee live here, right? They're our neighbors right next door, right? And so we have an opportunity, I think, to be part of what God is doing over there and make an impact and be part of what God is doing right here in our own community through that. So continue to pray for Ray and Lemyai. I can tell you that God's favor is on them. It's amazing to see what they're doing there and how they just fit in that culture. It was a blessing to me. But it's not easy. If you've ever been a missionary on a missions trip, you know it can be very difficult. So continue to pray for them. And I look forward to hearing more from them and being able to share more with you. With that, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word this morning. So we're going to do Matthew 9, chapter 9, verses 18 through 34. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He cast out demons by the ruler of demons." Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for this morning. I thank you for this chance we have all to be together to learn more about you, to worship you, to hear your word. I just ask for Gerald, Father, that you would pour your spirit through him. Let his words be your words, and let him know how much we love and appreciate him for being faithful to following you and for serving all of us this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are we on? Yes. Can you hear me? All right. Hallelujah. How y'all doing today? Good. Well, I hope you guys were primed during the worship and the prayer time, because we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again. Okay. Are you guys sick of prayer? Are you guys sick of worship? No. Okay. Good. 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 All right, because we're going to do it again. We'll have a little song at the end. We're going to do some more prayer at the end. The scripture that we're looking at today is interesting because it's sandwiched in the middle of so much other stuff that goes on. I got to give myself some room. I like to move a little bit. When we look at what Pastor Tim had talked about last week, very similar miracles have happened. In the scriptures from Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals, and Jesus delivers, and Jesus casts out demons. And people marvel at his power and his might. Something very interesting, though, happens when we look at what happened to the demon-possessed men in Gerasenes. The town got together, and they said, "Jesus, please leave. We saw your power. We saw your anointing. But Lord, please leave." And he did. He didn't argue. He didn't put up a fight. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't try to you know, explain what happened. He just got into the boat and he left. And when he came back to Capernaum, he went back to work. He got back to work. He healed the paralytic man and he forgave the paralytic man his sins. When he did that, the religious leaders were upset. They're angry. They're angry because only God can forgive sins, right? Right? Only God can forgive sins. And yet they were so upset and indignant, but he knew their thoughts. They didn't even have to say it out loud. He knew their thoughts. He said, why do you think these things in your heart? But to prove to you that I have the power and the authority to forgive sins, he told the young man, the paralytic man, to take up your mat and go home. Carry it home, he said. And the people marveled. People marveled. And they explained, and they exclaimed, who has given such authority to men? And so we're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about power, and we're going to talk about authority. And we're going to talk about how we can start to see these things happen in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I need more Jesus. Amen? I need more Jesus. As we look and see the world and the things that are happening in the world, we need more Jesus. When I see things that are happening in my work, we need more Jesus. When I see things happening in my family, we need more Jesus. Amen? We need more Jesus. And so how does that happen, right? How does that happen? Well, as we read the Bible and as we study our word today, we're going to find out. Now, if you don't know if you want more of Jesus, that's okay. All right, hopefully by the end of the service, it might change your mind. Who is Jesus? Okay, maybe that's a good question to start off with. Who is Jesus? Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He spent 33 years on the earth. He performed many miracles. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. But he rose again. He conquered sin and death. Not only that, but he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the enemy, making the devil a public spectacle when he was on that cross and when he rose again from the dead. Jesus is my provider. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my restorer. He's the one who brings me peace. He is my righteousness. He is my joy. He is the rock on whom I stand. Is that the same Jesus that you know? Is that the same Jesus that you have learned about? Is that the same Jesus that you cry out to when you pray? He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He is worthy of our praise. Just cut out there for a second. That's all right. He is worthy. I'll say it again. Now, who are you? Who are you? All right, there's a question for us, right? Who are you? When Jesus was on this earth, and he walked among us, and he performed these miracles, and he cast out demons, he healed the sick, and he taught us who God is. When he was here, he did that for a couple reasons. Number one, so that we would understand that God is real, and that he has authority, and that he has power. But one of the most important reasons that we need to gather today is that he did it because he cares about you and he cares about me. He came to this earth so that he could show us that as a man, as a fully human being, that he cared for us, that he cared for what we went through, that he cared that we were oppressed
by sin and death and the devil, that we would be in conflict with one another, that we'd be upset with one another, there'd be divisions, that he would come and that he would restore, and that he would set free, that he would deliver, because he cares for us. Because he cares for you and he cares for me. There's a different spirit. The Holy Spirit is just a little bit different today. There's a seriousness about the Holy Spirit today. There's a seriousness about it today. He wants to work today. He wants to work today. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and I have something to do, I'm focused, right? I've got my list. Do you guys make lists? I've got my list. I've got my things I want to check off. I'm going to have breakfast. I'm going to get to work. There's a focus and there's a seriousness to that. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do that today. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to get to work today. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to reveal himself today. And so everything that Jesus did in our scriptures, everything that he showed us, tells us that he cares about us. But there's some things that we need to learn. If we want to see the Holy Spirit begin to move in our midst, if we want to see the Holy Spirit begin to move in our lives, there's a few things that he teaches us in these scriptures. There's a few things that we need to be aware of. Jesus prophesied about himself. He proclaimed that he was the one that was going to come and to comfort those who mourn, to open the prison doors to those who were bound, to set the captives free, to proclaim good news to the afflicted. He did that in Isaiah 61. If we read a little bit more in Isaiah 61, a little bit further on, it starts to talk about some other stuff, some other people. It says in verse 2, it says, I have come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion and give them beauty for ashes, the oil of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And here it changes. Okay, it changes from first person. It starts talking about somebody else. That they may be called oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the ruins. And they shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities. The desolations of many generations. Who are they? Who are they? Who are they? What do you think? Those are you guys. Those are you. You are they. You are they. You are they, and even you guys over here are they. Don't want to forget those who are here. How y'all doing? Hola. ¿Cómo estás? ¿Cómo estás? Hola. Hallelujah. You are they. There's a few truths that we want to learn. It's interesting. I don't know. When God messes you up, God has been messing me up this whole week. Different situations that have happened. You know, I got to be honest with you. There's been miracles this week. There's been supernatural events this week. How many of y'all came to that men's conference yesterday? You all raise your hands up. Well, it was good, wasn't it? It was good. It was good. Messed me up. All right? It confirmed a lot about what God is doing in my life. Isn't it nice when you feel Holy Spirit moving?
Yes.
All right, almost just wait a second, you can come back to that. All right. When you feel the Holy Spirit moving in your heart, in your life, and then you start to hear somebody else talking about the exact same thing that's going on. Right? Isn't that even better? Right? You're like, oh, I think Holy Spirit's telling me this. And all of a sudden, you hear somebody preaching, or you hear somebody talking, or somebody prays for you, and they're like praying everything that you've been feeling. That's a good thing, right?
Yes.
That's confirmation. There you go. Perfect timing on that one. Perfect timing. It is good to hear those confirmations. God will always confirm what he's doing in you. God will always confirm the direction that he's given to you. If you're ever unsure, if you're ever worried, don't do anything until he brings the confirmation. Until he begins to confirm, you might be moving too quickly. You might be moving outside of his will, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to move before God is ready for you to move. And that's something that we need to learn when it comes to the supernatural. We know that God is our healer. We know that God is the God of the supernatural. We know that God produces miracles in our lives. But we are subject to his timing. We are subject to what he wants to do in us and then through us. Last spring, sometime in April, I started to experience this tingling in my shoulder. So throughout my chest and my arm, I experienced this tingling. Okay? I'm a doctor. I teach everything about the human body. I was a chiropractic clinician. I had a clinic. And so I knew what this tingling was meaning. I knew it wasn't good. And so I would go and get treatment. I would work my muscles. I would do my stretches. But this tingling kept happening. And I knew that it was not good. The tingling meant that I was losing muscle and I was losing feeling. And I could feel my muscles getting weaker and weaker. I couldn't even do a push-up. Because this arm would give out. And I'm like, Lord, whatever you're doing, I trust you. Lord, I know that you're my healer, but I trust you. And I kept praying. And I kept seeking the face of the Lord. And I kept praying. And I kept trusting him. Week after week, Lord, please heal my shoulder. Please restore my arm. Please restore my strength. Week after week, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks go by, and I'm just trusting the Lord. I know that he's my healer. I know that he will take care of it. And if he doesn't, it's okay. I've got another arm.
Yes.
I don't say that facetiously. And so we go camping with my boys, and I can't lay in a tent. I can't lay in a cot, or I can't lay down. So we have to get a hotel room, and that's okay. I don't think my boys mind it at all. I think they kind of enjoyed sleeping in a hotel room instead of sleeping in a tent because it was 90 degrees. It was hot. But we go and we spend time together. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't, even if I'm hurting, I don't really want everybody else to do stuff for me. Right, Pastor Johnny? Right? No, I want to do that. I can do that. I'll take care of that. I'm not completely broken yet. But we're out there fishing, we're having a great time. The Lord, we could sense that the Lord was moving. Because of what was happening, we just had the most blessed time together. That in itself was a miracle. And so we're on our way home, and I'm driving, but my arm's hurting. And so I'm like, Sammy, why don't you drive for me? And so we swap spaces, and he starts driving. And I'm just sitting there. I'm just, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you so much for this time for my boys. I just thank you so much for this blessing. I just thank you, Jesus. Lord, I know that you are my healer. I know that you are my healer, Lord. Lord, your word says that you heal. And my arm starts tingling. But it's a different kind of tingle. It's different. It was a restoration. It was a healing.
Hallelujah.
And by the time I got home, I knew that things were growing back. I knew that things were being restored. And if you want me to do some push-ups, I'll do 20, 25, 30. I'll do it. Whatever you want to do. The Lord has restored my strength. The Lord has healed me. And that's not the first time. That's not the first time. It's not the first time that the Lord has healed me. He's healed. I don't know how many times I've experienced God's touch and God's healing. And we've seen people healed as we have prayed for others. God is our healer. The same God that was in this Bible. See, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. When Jesus came back to Capernaum, he was not angry. He was not offended. He was not upset with the people from Gerasenes. He didn't even try to defend it. He just said, oh, you don't want me here? Okay, that's okay. Be blessed. And he left. There is a lesson in that. There's a whole sermon just on those verses, because when we get offended, when we get upset, that interrupts what God wants to do in our lives. Offense, bitterness, anger, those are barriers to see what God wants to do in our lives. Pastor Tim talked about what happened in Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus went back to his hometown. His hometown, he grew up. You would think they would be like, Jesus! But they're like, what? I knew that guy. I knew him when he fell down. He was a terrible baseball player. You know, Jesus couldn't hit the ball. He was terrible at basketball. He couldn't even wrestle. Oh my gosh. I knew that guy. He was weird. He like knew all the answers to all the Bible questions. I know that Jesus. Who is this Jesus? And nobody would go to him. Nobody would go to him. And Jesus did very few miracles in that town. We've all been there. We've all experienced that, right? We've all felt that. You see, when Jesus Christ comes into our lives, we become a new creation. Right? We become a new creation. The old passes away and the new comes. But it takes time. Sometimes it takes years for people to see it on you. And so maybe you had a nickname growing up and it wasn't flattering. You put up with it because you thought it helped you fit in. Maybe you have something like that now. But when Jesus Christ comes to you and he changes your name, you are not that person anymore. You are not that person anymore. But sometimes it takes others time. And so we don't get offended. We don't get upset. We don't walk in bitterness. We forget the past. The Bible says to do your best. Forget the past. Remember it no more. Because it no longer has a hold on you. It no longer can touch you. It can no longer hold you back from what God has for you. So many men in the Bible were oddballs. They were goofy. They didn't fit in. They stunk like fish, right? These fishermen, right? But when God comes, he changes who you are. He gives you a new name, and you are not the same person again. And we forgive those who maybe try to hold us back a little bit. We forgive them, right? Maybe they don't know Jesus yet. Maybe they don't know
how he changes and how he touches and how he transforms. And so we forgive him. We bless him. We forgive him. We let God take care of it. See, God is our defender. He is the one who watches over us. He is the one that defends us. He is the one that sets the captives free. Amen? So that we can now be oaks of righteousness. So that we can go back and restore the ruins and rebuild the devastations. It's hard work, right? It's hard work. But God is with us. You see, Jesus didn't go to these different places and do all of this stuff on his own. He had the Holy Spirit. He has the same Holy Spirit that moves in the midst of our worship. He has the same Holy Spirit that fills us and leads us and guides us. You see, when Jesus was on the earth, he went to John the Baptist and he was baptized. And when he was baptized, the people in that area, all of those people saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him like a dove and rest on him. And he was filled with Holy Spirit. And then he spent the next 40 days in the desert fasting. It says that he did not drink or eat for 40 days. How many of you guys know that's a miracle? How many of y'all know that you can't go 3 days without water before you're so dehydrated that you can't function? He went there and he spent 40 days because he was filled with Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Because he was filled with Holy Spirit. He was filled with Holy Spirit. And he fasted for 40 days. Why? To get rid of all the stuff, all of his flesh that could maybe get in the way of his ministry. How many of you guys fasted a little bit during our January fast? Okay. Bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Your effort was seen by the Lord. Your effort is going to produce fruit. Whatever sacrifice that you make for the Lord promised, he tells his disciples, whatever you have laid down in my name, I will pour back into your lap 100-fold. So I'm expecting 100 Snickers bars to show up on my front door today. At least 100, Lord. Because I gave up sweets. All right, that was one of the things that I fasted. I fasted different things throughout the 3 weeks, but the one thing I fasted all the way is sweets, and I fasted coffee. Oh, that was hard. That was hard. I admit that was tough because, oh my gosh, do I like a mocha. It's probably sugar, right? It's probably the sugar, but it is like the Lord's gift to me. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. This is so yummy and warm and soothes my, I love it. And that's probably the only thing that I actually craved. Like that last week of the fast, I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord, if somebody gives me a mocha, I'm probably going to drink it. But nobody gave me a mocha, and that's okay. That's okay. Maybe next year y'all think about it. Just kidding. But Jesus made that sacrifice for you and me. He fasted 40 days to get rid of his flesh, to overcome all the things in the flesh. And then the devil came to him and tempted him with those things. The first thing the devil tempted him with was flesh. Hey, if you're hungry, change these stones into bread. Because I know you're the Son of God. I know that you can do it. And Jesus said, nope, nope. I am going to finish what I started. You see, so often we have a word of the Lord and we're waiting for the Lord to work. We're waiting for the Lord to move. And we get a little anxious. We get a little antsy. We get a little hungry, right? You can be hungry for bread, but you can be hungry for a move of God. And when you are hungry for a move of God, the Lord says that he will fill you. He will satisfy you. But we have to wait. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint.
Those things we're like, oh yeah, bring it on, Lord. But then we're like, what's this first part about waiting? Waiting. Oh man, I hate waiting. Where's my phone? Okay, I'm not going to wait anymore. Oh yeah, look at that. Look at that. Oh yeah, look at that. Waiting. I'm not. Oh, I'm supposed to be waiting. Sorry, Lord. Let me focus on you, Lord. All right. Jesus wasn't done yet. He didn't complete his fast. He didn't complete his time of overcoming because the devil came at him again with pride. How many of y'all deal with pride?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. I'm praising God that you all are honest because God knows. God knows. We all deal with it. We all deal with pride. We all deal with the things of the flesh. And then the devil came at him with visions of glory, right? Visions of accolades. This is a different form of pride. There's pride in power, and there's a pride in what people see you as, right? The last thing I wanted to do when I was young is to grow up and be a preacher. Last thing I wanted to do. When I was called by the Lord, I was running through a hayfield on my farm, my family farm. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do when I get older? He's like, I want you to be a pastor. I'm like, well, okay. And I was only like 8 or 9. I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, Lord. And then I tell my Sunday school group, because that was our assignment, right? Our Sunday school teacher said, okay, I want you to go and I want you to talk to the Lord and see what he wants you to do. And so I did that because I was obedient. And I told my Sunday school group the next week and they all laughed at me. Every single one of them. I don't know, did I have stuff in my teeth? I don't know, right? A booger in my nose, I was only 8 or 9, you know. And I'm like, okay, I guess that wasn't from the Lord. And I don't ever want to be that if everybody's going to laugh at me. And so the Lord allowed me to put it on the shelf for a little while. But here I am. So if anybody wants to be a preacher and you're all excited about being a preacher, it's probably not the job for you. Anybody who receives a calling from the Lord, they're like, oh God, please no. And if you say that right now, if you say, oh God, please no, you're probably called. I'm just saying. I got to be honest with you. I'm just saying. It's truth. All right. Don't ever say, Lord, please don't send me to Africa. Because he will. Because he is a funny God. He's a sense of humor. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He's good. But he went through those trials and he overcame the desires of the flesh. He overcame the desires to control, He overcame the desire to receive accolades. Okay? He overcame through that fast so that when he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, there is a price to pay. There is a price to pay. When you want God to move in your life, when you want God to move in you and through you, there is a price to pay. And that's okay. God is faithful. And God is merciful. And God is just. God does not force himself. He allowed me to run for 33 years. Well, I shouldn't say that. 33 minus 8, what is that? Anybody good at math? So God allowed me to run for about 25 years, and then he brought me back to that place. By that time, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was healed, and being healed takes time, right? Healing takes time. And by that time, I was ready to listen. I was ready to obey. I was ready to submit. Amen. God is good. Jesus began to minister in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When he went to Gerasenes and he delivered those men from those devils, lots of devils, right? The devils were cast into the pigs, and the pigs jumped into the ocean. They all died, and the people came out and said, "Lord, please leave." You see, these pigs were our livelihood, Lord. They meant everything to us. They represented our economy, our money, our wealth, our prosperity, because we're known for raising good pigs. These were really good pigs, Lord, but you killed them all. Please leave. You see, those people were focused on the wrong thing. They were focused on the material. They were focused on their economy. They didn't quite realize what just walked into their lives. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, just walked into their lives, but they were focused on this. Like, this isn't going to look good on social media. All our pigs are dead. Facebook doesn't, huh? I had all these followers with the funny pig pictures. I had all these pigs used to do different things, and I could post them on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. Now I don't have any pigs, so what am I going to do, Lord? Please leave. And he said, okay, I'm going to leave. No worries. Okay, no worries. It's okay. I'm going to go. He wasn't offended. We have to remember that, especially as pastors, especially if God has called you to leadership. We need to be careful. We need to be very careful to not walk in offense, to not walk in anger or bitterness. To leave it in God's hands, amen? Because we don't know what God's going to do with that. The same thing happened when he came back to Capernaum and he healed that paralytic boy. And the religious leaders in their heart were saying, how can this guy do this? Who is he to forgive sins? Who is he? And Jesus started to talk to them about wineskins and shrunken cloths, right? Well, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything that we're talking about right here? What does that have to do with this paralytic boy being healed and Jesus forgiving him of his sins? You see, the shrunken cloths and the wineskins represent a way of thinking. And if you do not have the right mindset, you're going to miss what God wants to do. He was talking to the religious leaders. He was talking to those people who wanted to control and manipulate through religion, who were stuck in the old way of doing things, which meant that we had to earn our way to heaven, which meant we had to do good things or else we wouldn't be accepted. And Jesus came to say, no, it's not about doing good things. It's not about working your way to heaven. It's about drawing close to me. It's about getting to know who I am. I came to show you how much I love you. I came to show you how much I am compassionate and how I wanted to live on this earth with you to show you that I went through the same things, that I was cold and I was hungry and I was tempted and I was rejected. People said a lot of stuff about me. They punched me in the face. They whipped my back. They put nails through my hands and my feet. See, I experienced all these things so that you would know that I love you, that you would know that I'm here for you. Not only that, but I have power and I have authority because I have overcame. And now that same power and that authority I give to you so that you can do the same things that I did. You see, God doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't done already. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he's not already doing. I don't know about you, but when I do a roof, when I repair a roof, and when I do shingles and stuff like that, it's always nice to have some people around me that know what they're doing. Right, Travis? Right, man? Okay, it's always beneficial to have a few people that know what they're doing. Makes you feel safe, makes you feel comfortable, makes you feel like you're going to get done on time, right? You're building and framing a house, right? I do those kind of things, right? I enjoy that kind of stuff. Planting trees, cutting trees, doing some logging. I enjoy that kind of stuff. And it's nice to know that you have other people with you that know what they're doing, right? You see, God invites us to join him with his work. And we can join with him because he knows what he's doing. Right, Pete? He knows what he's doing. And he's just saying, hey, come along with me as I minister to these people. Come with me and I'll help you. You see, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I'm gentle. He is gentle. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So I don't know about you guys, but when I get yoked with someone, do you guys even know what that means? Do you guys even know what a yoke is?
No.
Yeah. Right? Well, back in the day, they used ox. They used oxen to do pretty much everything. All the field work they did, they used oxen. And so there's this thing called a yoke, right? It's like a big piece of wood, and it goes around the oxen's neck, okay? And it goes around the next oxen's neck. And so they're bound together. They're bound together. And then they move together, right? They walk straight ahead together. They turn together, right? They're bound to one another. And that's what Jesus is saying right now. He's saying, come to me, be bound with me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And it's not, okay, but they're doing work, right? They're doing work. They're getting work done. Well, I don't know about you, but if I had to lift a refrigerator, right, I would want somebody really strong to help me because it makes it easier for me, right? Yep. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I'm really, 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 really strong. So if you work with me, your half is going to be the easy half. I'll lift all the weight. You're just going to be along for the ride. When I was fasting, I got to the point where my body was weak, and I just realized, I had this realization. It's like, Lord, I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing to give you. I have nothing to give. Nothing to offer you. And he's like, you never did. He's like, you never did. I guess it just took me a while to get it through my thick skull, right? But then he's like, well, that's why I chose you. That's why I chose you, because you don't have anything to give. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I don't ask you to do that because I want you to do anything. I just want you to be next to me. I want you to be bound to me. I want you to draw close to me. And that's what God is saying tonight. He's saying today, draw close to me. You have a need, draw close to me. You're hurting, draw close to me. You're struggling with something, draw close to me. That's what he's saying to everybody here today. Draw close to me. There's four things that we do. When people draw close to God, number one, they begin to learn how to wait for him. If I have nothing to give the Lord, if I have no strength to offer him, then I better wait for him to move, because without him, I can do nothing. And so we learn to wait on the Lord. Sometimes when we learn to wait on the Lord, it takes years to hear an answered prayer. How many of you guys have been waiting for years for an answered prayer? Right? Some of us have been waiting for years. Maybe it's been only a few weeks for us. That's okay, right? Can God answer a prayer immediately? Absolutely. God will touch people's lives instantly. And he will make a way. But sometimes, like in my testimony from earlier, sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes it takes years. It took me 25 years before I was to the point where I could surrender to the Lord. It took a long time for God to heal my emotions. Hallelujah. Number two, we need to trust his word. When we draw close to someone, we're able to hear his voice, right? You have a significant other, if you have kids, or if you have a friend, right? When you guys communicate together, typically you're in close proximity, right? And when we hear his voice, we can trust in him. We can trust in him. A lot of you guys have received a word of the Lord, and you're still waiting, and that's okay. God has not forgotten it. God is not slow to answer your prayers. However, sometimes he waits for the perfect time, for the perfect timing. And that's important to remember. We need to be able to trust him. When my arm was beginning to atrophy and I was losing all my muscle mass, yeah, I was praying every day and I was believing that he was going to heal me. However, if he didn't, I would still be okay. I would still be okay. I trusted him. I trusted him. But I kept praying in faith. You keep praying in faith, but you trust him. You trust him. Number three, when God gives you directions, obey. When he tells you to do something, make sure you're obedient to his voice. Sometimes he'll say, stop doing this. Make sure you're obedient. Stop watching these types of shows. Stop spending so much time on your phone. Stop criticizing. Stop gossiping. Sometimes the Lord will say that to you, and you'll be like, okay, Lord, I will. Just be obedient. Because those are the things that hinder our walk with the Lord. Those are the things that prevent him from moving in our lives. Unrepentant sin is one of the most destructive things. Obey him. Maybe he tells you to go talk to somebody. You know, maybe it's simple. Maybe it's simple. Maybe you just go over to somebody and give them a $20 bill. Not even good. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Gerald. Thank you. Hallelujah. That would be the easiest thing for you to do, right? Go share the gospel with someone. Oh, give them a $20 bill. Okay. I'll do that, Lord. Come on now. Come on. Maybe sharing the $20 bill opens the door for the gospel. Come on. It's okay. We give to missions, right? We give to missions. Why not give somebody a $20 bill when they're hurting or when they need a meal and then share the gospel with them? Amen. Easy. It's easy. When the Lord hears your prayers and when the Lord answers your prayers, obey. I'm sorry. When he gives you directions, obey. But when he answers your prayers, share. Share. Remember those people in Gerasenes that asked Jesus to leave, right? They asked him to get out of town, go away. Matthew chapter 14, verse 34. Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and when they crossed over the Sea of Galilee, they came to the land of Gennesaret. the same town that asked him to leave. I'm not sure how much time lapsed here. It may have been a few weeks. It could have been a few months. But when the men of the place recognized him, they sent into all of the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick and begged him. They begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly healthy. He's like, well, what happened?
I don't know.
Well, what happened between that time and when they asked him to leave? Well, remember, there's those two guys that he delivered from all those demons, right? Those guys were so thankful. Those guys were so happy, so excited that Jesus would come to them and set them free, that they told everybody they could about Jesus. You see, there is power in your testimony. There's power in sharing what God has done for you. And maybe you think, well, I don't have a testimony. Well, maybe you do. Think about what you were like a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, and think about what you were like now. Have you changed? Has God set you free from certain things? Are you not as addicted to different things? Are you not as angry as you used to be? Are you more generous with what God has given to you? That's a testimony. And we can share our testimony. Amen? We can share that testimony. And when we share a testimony, the Lord begins to enter that situation. He begins to turn people's lives around. Yeah, I have a testimony of God's healing power. And I've got a bunch. And I've seen it happen a bunch. I've got testimonies of God providing for me. You need some financial provision? Do you need a financial miracle? God is our provider. Amen. Do you need relationships restored? I've seen relationships restored in my family. Man, I thought they were busted and it was going to be Christmas hell. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Christmas is the most stressful time of the year because you got to get together with your family. But God is good and God restored relationships. Maybe you need that today. Maybe you need restored relationships. Maybe you need a financial miracle. Maybe you need a healing touch. Maybe you need deliverance. Let's just all get real. Maybe we need some deliverance today. God is here. God is here. Why don't the worship team come back up, please? God is here. We're going to do one little song, and then we're going to offer prayer for you guys again. And if you guys would like some prayer, you can come back up. Okay? You can come back up during that song, and we're going to pray for you again. Maybe you were touched by the Lord earlier and you want another touch from the Lord. That's okay. Get as much as you can today. Amen. Be touched. Be filled. Be overflowing. If we could just ask that everybody use the side doors during the time of prayer. That way everybody doesn't feel rushed or distracted when their people are getting prayed for up here, okay? Just use the side doors. We're just going to block that door off. I got a couple deacons that they're going to stand there, and I made sure that they had brass knuckles. So just make sure that they, you know, they have authority. They have authority to redirect people. I'm just teasing. They would never do that, right? This is Bo. He's my friend. I love this guy.
Love you too, Joe.
Right? He has an anointing on his life.
Yes, he does.
And he's going to lead us in a song. And if we have, our prayer teams can come up. Okay, and as he leads us in this song is about gratitude, this song about thanksgiving. We learned last week with Pastor Tim that when we worship, it opens the doors for miracles. When we worship Him, when we thank Him, it opens the doors for miracles. And so we're going to spend a little time here. This last song is just about thanking the Lord, blessing the Lord. And as we do that, come up. Come up for prayer. Come up and let the Lord minister to your hearts today again. All right. He still has work to do. He has something that He wants to do in us and through us. Whether you're young or old, come on up. Come on up and get some prayer today. All right. If you guys could use the side exits, if you want to go back to get your kids, if you need to go back and get something at the coffee area, go to the bathroom. Otherwise, come up to the front. Just invite you up. Otherwise, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. And have a great day. Enjoy the weather. Amen. Amen.